friends. It's a beautiful day here. The sun is peeking through the clouds more often, and hope is real that spring is just around the corner. We're halfway through our study of Mark's Gospel, and I thought today called for something a bit different. So rather than just giving you more information this week on how and what to study, maybe what we need to do at this midway point is just slow down and reflect a bit. This week in Mark 8, we read another story of Jesus feeding the crowds. And again, we hear this pronouncement from Mark 6 that everyone ate and was satisfied. So let's take some time today to reflect on this theme. Let's just start by turning our attention to Jesus and focusing on him for these few minutes. Would you just pray with me? Jesus, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that you are with us. Just as we reflect on this theme in Mark for a few minutes, would you reveal to us where you would like to form us in new ways? In your name we pray. Amen. So far in the first half of the book, Mark's been inviting his reader to contemplate their question of who is Jesus? And here at the end of part one, he emphatically declares, whether we figured out the answer to the question or not, that Jesus is the one who satisfies. I thought we should read and just meditate on John's account of the feeding of the 5,000, but specifically the reaction of the crowds after they have been fed. In John 6, the crowds are pursuing Jesus and they finally catch up to him and they ask him where he's been. In verse 26, Jesus answers them. He says, "Truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him." "What can we do to perform the works of God?" they asked. Jesus replied, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent." "What sign then are you going to do so that we may see and believe you?" they asked. "What are you going to perform?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said, "Sir, give us this bread always." "I am the bread of life," Jesus told them. "No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again." Jesus says the people follow him because they ate the loaves and were filled. Their hungry stomachs were satisfied by his miracle of abundance, but Jesus knows that they missed the significance of what the miracle meant. The truth is that they're seeking Jesus for what he can give them in the physical realm, rather than for who he is, which is the Messiah King, the one sent from heaven, the spiritual food that will fill them with his abiding presence for all eternity, and satisfy not their stomachs, but their hearts. I wonder what we think it means to be satisfied by Jesus himself. Being satisfied by his gifts, actually, I understand. I can look at my life and I see the result of his hand for my good. My family, provision, a roof over my head and food on the table. I'm thankful. But is this what it means to be satisfied by Jesus? Is he enough simply because he answers my prayers and gives me what I need and even sometimes what I want? The truth is, to be satisfied by Jesus himself is to see him not as useful, but as beautiful. As we've said before, it's about loving God, not for what he can give or do for us, but simply for who he is and his presence with us. It's about being satisfied not by the hand of God, but by his face. Let's exercise our faith muscle of reflection today and just consider a few questions that maybe will probe our hearts in this area. If you're listening to this while doing other things, maybe you just need to pause until you're in a space to truly reflect and notice the nudging of his Holy Spirit. Or maybe you need to go for a walk while you listen. Do something with your hands, like folding laundry, to truly give your mind and heart space to consider and reflect. But as we do, let's just turn our attention to God. Remember that if you are his child, if you have put your trust in him, he has put his Spirit in you to remind you of his word and to lead you in the faith process of repenting and believing. So we ask him even now to form us in that way as we consider these following questions. First, what is it that satisfies you? What is that goal you are chasing after? What is it that you envision as the good life? Perhaps it's some kind of financial security or independence. Maybe it's the status of a position or title, or the success of your children. What is that thing that represents flourishing to you? That when you have that, you know you will have made it. You will have achieved the good life. Ask yourself, is this vision of flourishing the thing you are trusting in to satisfy you? Next, is it possible that you've come to see your relationship with Jesus as simply a means to getting this good life? That he is the way or means to some other end, some other vision of flourishing? Maybe you're believing that if you are good enough and obey him and do the things he expects of you, you'll believe he'll give it to you. Perhaps you think that if you ask him for it a lot, that if you have more faith, that he's the means to get you there to this place of flourishing, this good life. It's worth pointing out here that sometimes we've come to mistakenly believe even that salvation itself is the ends. But Jesus died on the cross for our sins, not just so that we can be saved from damnation in eternity and go on living here on earth for our own purposes. We are saved to relationship with him in the here and now. He can live in us and we can abide satisfied in him. When the crowds were pursuing Jesus in John 6, he said to them, "You are not looking for me because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." Maybe take a few moments today and just let the Spirit gently and lovingly reveal any ways you have seen Jesus as the means to a goal, rather than the goal itself. Friends, what does it mean for you to seek after Jesus himself as the bread of life? Is that which truly satisfies, to have a real relationship with him and feel like his presence is feeding you. It's the thing that sustains you, that as you are with him and in him, you are experiencing his fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And that you would say that even as you walk through the muddiness of this earth, you know you are flourishing in faith and trust in Jesus. Do you know him in this way? Do you have this relationship? Have you been satisfied by his face, his presence? Or do you want to know him in this way, and do you need to talk to someone about it? We'd love to chat with you and walk you through what this might look like in your life. But let me just end here with a few verses from the beginning of Isaiah 55. I've read it before, and I see it as such a beautiful invitation into this kind of faith, a life satisfied by Jesus himself. So hear these words from the prophet as he speaks the word of the Lord. Come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the water. And you without silver, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without silver and without cost. Why do you spend silver on what is not food and your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Do you believe it's true? There is tremendous hope and assurance here, as Jesus himself has said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied." So I urge you, sisters in Christ, to keep on seeking the one who is our righteousness. And as you continue on in the second half of Mark, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face towards you, be gracious to you, and give you his beautiful peace. Amen.